You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Good friend of the show is Gary Myers, formerly of the Daily News, wrote the New York Times bestseller Brady versus Manning, and now he has a podcast called The GOAT, Tom Brady, and it starts next Monday, October 5th. It's from Diversion Pods and iHeartRadio. So we welcome Gary to the show. Gary, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How are you?
What's going on, fellas? How's everybody doing?
Hey, everybody's doing good. Great. Hanging in there. So tell us about this podcast. What's it about? Is it only about Brady?
Yeah, it's about Brady, but you know, it's about his journey. So and I have a lot of interviews that I did for my Brady Manning book that I use some of the stuff in the book, but nobody's ever heard the audio from it, and that adds so much to it. So there's a ton of stuff from Brady, from Peyton, from Kraft, Parcells, Joe Montana, Michael Strahan, Drew Bledsoe. I mean, just a lot of really fun stuff to listen to. So it's 12 episodes. It's a narrative, and then I'm just inserting, you know, relevant audio in there to tell his story from a guy on his freshman football team, didn't get to play one snap at quarterback, despite the fact that they were 0-8 and didn't score an offensive touchdown. So you go from that point to where he is right now, and it's a journey unlike anybody else, just considering how long he was disrespected until Drew Bledsoe got injured in that game against the Jets in 2001, and then his career just took off. But, you know, up until that point, both in getting recruited to college and then getting drafted in the NFL, he was a complete afterthought.
And what's the common theme among the different people that you talk to?
Well, Donnie, it's just, you know, how competitive he is and how the Michigan experience really helped shape who he is today, because it took him until his fourth year to get on the field at Michigan. He was behind a guy named Scott Drysback and then Brian Greasy. And, you know, one of the best interviews I did in the book was I sat down in Ann Arbor with Boyd Carr, the Michigan coach. And, you know, I used some stuff from that in the book, but the audio is just, I mean, I just think it's great, because the first question I asked him was, And this was like 5 years ago. So I sit with him and I say, how do you explain a guy who is now considered the greatest quarterback in NFL history, that you redshirted as a freshman, sat him behind Scott Drysback as a redshirt freshman, then his redshirt sophomore year, he was behind Brian Greasy, until finally you played him in his fourth year, and then he was looking over the shoulder at the Yankees' old third baseman, Drew Henson. And he just said, listen, you know, coaches are selfish. They play the guy who they think has the best chance to win. And, you know, at that point, he didn't think he was the best guy he had on his team. And it's just, to me, it's just mind-boggling when you think about when he showed up at Michigan, he was seventh on the depth chart. Mm. And then his whole rookie year with the Patriots, he was fourth, and they kept a fourth quarterback in New England his rookie year because they had such salary cap problems there. They had trouble filling out the roster. So there were times that instead of having 53 guys in the roster, they had 51. So having Brady around actually helped them, because he was making sixth-round rookie money. And then the next year, of course, everything changed when Mo Lewis hit Bledsoe. But I think really the common theme with – In the podcast is just, you know, how one title wasn't enough for him, two wasn't enough, three wasn't enough, and they go up to six isn't enough, that he's so driven. I think he's so driven to win his seventh and to prove he can win at least one without Belichick.
Do you think he will?
You know, I think that, you know, as we sit here today after three games of the season, that I would give them as good a chance as anybody else. Because I think they're going to get better. As, you know, he didn't benefit from an off season there, so he really his first, you know, real exposure to those receivers was in training camp. I know he had a couple of workouts here and there that he ran by himself with his teammates, but I just think, you know, as long as he stays healthy, that Tampa is one of those teams that I think is just going to get better as the season goes along, as they get used to each other. And with the, you know, there's a few teams you'd put at the top right now in the NFC. You know, Green Bay, obviously. I think when San Francisco gets healthy, obviously Seattle. I think they have a really good chance to get to the Super Bowl. And what a great story that would be somehow if it was Tampa versus New England.
Sounds like another book.
Yeah, well, at least you know, another epilogue I could write. But
at least a special edition, something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to do something special. But, you know, when we reach that point, if it ever gets to that, I really hope there's some fans in the stands in Tampa. Can you imagine playing Belichick versus Brady in the Super Bowl with no fans there?
That would be amazing. I wouldn't be amazing without fans, but hopefully there is. So you could get this podcast starting on Monday, and there are 12 episodes, and wherever you get your podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Before we let you go, mm-hmm. What's your take on the Jets? I mean, is Adam Gase as universally disregarded by people in football as it seems?
I think the only one who spoke highly of him when the Jets hired him was Peyton Manning. And I think that had a lot to do with why Christopher Johnson hired him. I do think that people were really surprised that a guy with a losing record got hired again so quickly. He had the same record in Miami that Eric Mangini had with the Jets in those 3 years. And I know Mangini got hired right away in Cleveland, but we kind of discount everything Cleveland does. Mm-hmm. For the Jets to hire a coach within a failed coach within the division, it just didn't make any sense then, and it makes less sense now. My gut feeling is he'll make it through the season, because who are you going to promote to be the head coach? Greg Williams, whose defense was, you know, was played out of its mind last night. I mean, and I don't mean that in a good way. It was so undisciplined. I mean, how can you give it to Greg Williams? And I worry for Sam Darnold. I know you guys have him on every week. He's really a good kid, and he deserves better than this. He deserves better coaching. He deserves better weapons. But I don't know if you're going to get to this point, but I wanted to make it that I've been asked so many times this week, if the Jets have the number one pick, would they take Trevor Lawrence? And my feeling is that despite all the negatives surrounding Darnold, if the Jets wind up with the number one pick, it just means he couldn't play his way through it. And he played really, really poorly all year. And then if they have the chance to take Trevor Lawrence, if they're picking first, and, you know, the new catchphrase in sports is he's a generational talent. I look at it like I think he's supposedly the best prospect since Andrew Luck, who was the best prospect since Peyton Manning. And if he indeed is on that level, and Darnold has a bad enough year that the Jets are picking first, and if Joe Douglas is still the general manager, and he did not take Sam Darnold, I think they'll take Trevor Lawrence and then get whatever they can for Darnold, and maybe that would be the best thing to happen to Darnold. But this is the worst it's been for the Jets, just in the feel you get around them and the negativity and sometimes apathy from the fans. But this is clearly the worst it's been for the Jets since the Kotite years, and that's really saying a lot.
Well, Gary, good luck with the GOAT, Tom Brady. New right. podcast coming out on Monday. Diversion Pods and iHeartRadio, so or wherever your podcasts are sold. So good stuff as always, and we wish you good luck on this new project.
Well, thanks so much for having me on, guys, and congratulations on your zooming to number one in drive time.
Well, thank you, Gary.
Good luck,
Gary. Appreciate it. Be well.
All right, take care.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.